You know, 10 months ago, we made a decision to redefine our direction. We knew there would be ups and downs this season. We knew that we would encounter some things that were going to be difficult, and we did. With that said, I think we're in a better place today than we were at this time last year. And I think we have an opportunity to grow as an organization starting today.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
Levine, he goes right. Oh!
Stop it, Sampson! Did you not get the memo?
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Here's Enes Kanter, what are you doing? The finisher in New York City.
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
We're going to preach patience. Doesn't mean we're not going to be looking for ways to get better, but a lot of it's going to come internally. We need Zach LaVine to be a better basketball player. Chris Dunn to come back a better player. Lauri Markkanen, Bobby Portis, you go down the line. They have to put in the time and confident that they will.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Like I said at the beginning, I feel better today about our direction and our position than I did a year ago.
Locked On Bulls. Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley, writer of Bulls basketball in the NBA at LockedOnBulls.com and college hoops over at SB Nation. Along with me is Matt Peck, host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago and host of the 312 show on AM 1590 WCGO. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Our text and voicemail lines at 331-979-1369. Hit us up there. We'd love to hear from you. Texts, voicemails. It's going to be a difficult weekend. If you're a Bulls fan, going to watch tonight at Milwaukee and then against the Raptors tomorrow night. Might be a little bit of struggle, so we're here for you. 331-979-1369. Matt, what's going on? Happy Friday to you. This is going to be a very, very difficult weekend for the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah, what's up, Jordan? No lie, I am just going to... grin and bear it is my new favorite saying, because I think it's a great a hashtag for the tank, aka RJ Barrett. I'm going to grin and bear it through these games on Friday and Saturday. This is going to be a tough back-to-back. I'm not expecting a W in either. And honestly, all of my eyes, all of the various eyeballs that I have are just so laser focused on that Bears-Vikings Sunday night football game we got coming on deck. So I'm just looking at this Bulls back-to-back Friday-Saturday as the hard stuff I have to get through to the reward of a massively important Bears game in prime time on Sunday night. And you know what? There's no other way. I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. I'm not gonna lie and say I'm more excited to watch this Bulls back to back than I am to watch that Bears Vikings game. No, come on, let's be real. This is the punishment we have to go through before the reward. Because guess what? The Bulls are gonna lose both of these games, and they're gonna lose them both by a lot.
You hit up Locked On Bears if you want a full and complete preview of Bears Vikings on Sunday nights. Lauren Cox does a great job over at Locked On Bears. I think I agree. Like, if you live here in the city of Chicago, surrounding suburbs, you're just as big of a Bears fan as you are a Bulls fan. I think more of your attention is probably on Sunday night as opposed to tonight or tomorrow night. But I would imagine a lot of Bulls fans tonight maybe making your way up to Milwaukee. Go check out that new stadium. This is going to be one of two opportunities you're going to be able to see the Bulls up there in Milwaukee this year. So, I've heard great things about the new stadium. You know, the Bulls, they went and saw them in preseason, got a little bit of a look. Malika Andrews for ESPN did a little bit like inside, behind the scenes for Bulls fans. So that was pretty cool too. So I would imagine that, you know, if you're not doing anything tonight, you live in the area, go up to Milwaukee and maybe check out a Bulls game tonight.
Yeah, you're heading up there, aren't you?
I am, but I'm not going to watch our beloved Bulls. I am going to a concert, so I would...
That's a wiser choice.
So if if our listeners can help us out, you know, throughout the concert, I'm probably going to be getting tweets and updates and alerts. So barring by that, I'll kind of know how the game is gauged and how the game is going. So, but nonetheless, let's talk about tonight's game. Let's talk about the Bucks for a second, because, you know, we saw them in preseason, pretty solid in preseason. I think the expectations that this team was going to take a step ahead this year, but I don't think anybody thought that they were going to be 10-4 to start the season. And they've been one of the best teams in the NBA. You know, they pulled off a win against the Golden State Warriors, who look a little bit like they're struggling this season so far. But I think, hands down, this Milwaukee Bucks team has been the best team in the East. And you could probably make the argument that they've been the best team in the NBA so far this season.
Yeah, I don't know if I would go as far as to call the Bucks the best team in the East or the best team in the league right now. I mean, the Raptors are the Raptors have dropped their last couple of games, including getting beat by Dwayne Casey's Pistons with a buzzer beater the other night. But you know, the Raps are 12-3, and if you know, if anyone has had a strong start to the season as much as the Raptors, but it was a bit of a surprise, it's certainly the Bucks, who started 7-0. Giannis is having the start to what could be an MVP kind of season. 27-13 he's averaging, thereabouts. And now he's just got all these really interesting role players that are stepping up. That's always been the question with the Bucks as they try and make, you know, progressive steps as far as being real contenders in the East that people respect when people are usually talking about Philly and Boston and Toronto. And Brook Lopez was a huge get. Brook Lopez has been a godsend for this team with his ability to space the floor. Chris Middleton averaging 20 points per game, also chipping in with, like, you know, averaging close to 5 assists and 5 rebounds per game. This is a well-balanced team in the Milwaukee, more so than it's been in recent seasons.
I 100% agree with you there. Chris Middleton has been the guy, like, a lot of people thought he was going to be that sidekick to Giannis. They were just kind of waiting for him to put together a full season and maybe take that next step. And he's going to be a guy, a focus of 2019 free agency. You know, and you've got some Bulls fans around here talking about potentially throwing somebody at Chris Middleton if you swing and miss at any of the top free agents. I don't know if he's coming here. I don't know why you would leave Milwaukee unless you're going to go to another place that you feel like you've got a better chance at a championship. Like, to me, I think Milwaukee would be willing to bring him back at probably a max deal, make a ton of money, and be on a competitive team. Like, to me, all signs point to Chris Middleton probably staying in Milwaukee. But yes, he's been fantastic. Malcolm Brogdon, too, a guy who won Rookie of the Year in his first season, had a little bit of a dip and missed some time with some injuries last year, but he's come on strong, and they've started him and Eric Bledsoe together in their starting lineup, and it's improved their shooting, their ability to score, their ability to pass the ball, too. And then once again, like, when you have the Greek Freak, I mean, that's pretty much hands down the best weapon you can have in the NBA outside of LeBron. So to me, the way the Bulls stop this Bucks team tonight is you've got to try to play your best perimeter defense of the entire year against this Bucks team. Because I had mentioned to you before off air, the Bucks are taking nearly 43 point attempts per game, and they're shooting 36.9% from the 3-point line. So if the Bulls want to hang around in this game, you've got to play your best perimeter defense of the entire year tonight.
Yeah, I mean, this Bucks team is averaging more points per game than any other team in the league, including the Warriors. They're averaging upwards of 121 points per game. And, you know, their defense isn't, like, spectacular. They can clamp down when they need to. Of course, they have all this great length on this team. They're plus-minus in points per game. Their differential, +10.9, also tops in the league and almost 3 points higher than second-place Portland. I mean, this Bucks team is very good, and they have the ability, as you can see from their point differential, to blow teams out of the water. I think the Bulls are going to get their butts whooped tonight, and the line shows that. The Bulls are even bigger underdogs tonight than they were against Boston earlier this week. It's Bucks -14.5 right now. Jordan, are you going to put some money on the Bulls tonight?
Hell no.
There
Absolutely
we go.
Not. Going to stay away from the Bulls tonight, although I think the style that the Milwaukee Bucks play more so favors that of the Boston Celtics we saw the other night. You know, the Boston Celtics slow things down, and they've had to do that because they've struggled with their starting lineup. We saw that the other night, and it killed the Bulls. The Bulls aren't very good in half court when you're playing, having to play half court defense and not be able to push and run with your offense. And that's where we've seen the Bulls be able to play well is like, I go back to Denver. Denver was kind of running it up and down the floor with the Bulls. And that's how the Bulls stayed in some of those games. The Hornets did kind of this a similar thing. You saw one night they got blown out and the one night that they stayed in it. So the Bulls shooting is going to be key. Zach LaVine and Jabari Parker is going to be huge tonight. And I think that's another storyline, man, is Jabari Parker's coming back to Milwaukee for the first time in the regular season. And, you know, this storyline popped up in preseason, but I don't think it was as popular as it is going to be tonight. So what are you expecting out of Jabari Parker? Are we going to see, like, all of a sudden a flash in the pan, one-night performance where he comes out and knocks down 25, 30 points tonight? Or is it going to be one where he feels pressured to do everything and then it's going to be 8 points on 6 of 20 shooting?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see a extra motivated Jabari compared to what we've seen so far this season, which has been a doesn't look all that motivated Jabari, because you know, I'm sure he would want to prove a point and prove himself in his old stomping grounds of Milwaukee to say, hey, you made a mistake to let me go. I think it seemed like both sides were ready to move on from that relationship, but a lot of it was about the fact that Jabari was not getting along very well with their old coach, Jason Kidd, and now they have a new coach that is very well respected, you know, across the league and is doing a very good job so far. You wonder if, you know, if Budenholzer was going to come in and make this Bucks team what it is, that Jabari would have been a little less inclined to bolt down and come back home to Chicago. As far as Jabari's performance tonight, I hope that he doesn't have one of those nights where he's trying to do too much and is jacking up a lot of shots and jacking up shots from, say, oh, I don't know, 18 to 20 feet, his favorite place to shoot the ball. And, I mean, we'll see. We'll see what happens and whether or not he gets any kind of, like, warm welcome back from the Bucks crowd. I think for the most part, what you and I have heard on NBA Twitter is that Bucks fans were ready to see him leave because he was not worth the money that he wanted the Bucks to pay him to stay. So, you know, to me, Jordan, the biggest question I have coming into tonight is, will the Bucks PR people and their, you know, in-stadium entertainment team make some kind of tribute video of Jabari's time in Milwaukee? Or will they make a tribute video for Gar Foreman for signing him to that ridiculous $20 million? I feel like Gar deserves a tribute video in Milwaukee more than Jabari does.
Are you going to play devil's advocate?
Paul Zipser, who
it's
are high
weird
on.
Because I've also read reports, too, over the last couple of months where it said, like, the Milwaukee Bucks wanted to bring Jabari back. It's Jabari didn't want to come back to the Bucks. So I would assume that, you know, they're happy for him, and I think watching him from afar now with this Bulls team, and they're probably thankful that they didn't re-sign him to any type of long-term deal. I don't know. I would assume that they're going to probably do something along the lines of, like, a small tribute video, but how long was he in Milwaukee? What, 3 or 4 years? I know he was their number two pick overall in the draft, but still, like, he had a couple ACL injuries, didn't play really a full season for that Bucks team, and they didn't do anything that was really special, did they?
No.
Like, they made some first or second round of exits in the playoffs.
Bulls fans who were quick to defend the Jabari signing were also quick to highlight Jabari's defensive efforts in their playoff series against Boston. That's, I mean, if there's one thing that people, that Jabari stands wanted to stand behind, it was that, as far as whether or not he did anything of that was noteworthy in his time with the Bucks, it was, well, they gave the Celtics a series and Jabari looked pretty good. Oh, okay, cool. I'm done with that. I don't care. I honestly, like, the cynical part of me kind of wants to watch a train wreck in Milwaukee tonight where Jabari is trying to do too much and just has a terrible game. But that's only the cynical part of me. That's not the entirety of who I am as a Bulls fan and someone who's evaluating Jabari's play. Honestly, it would be nice to see him have a solid game coming back home and or not back home, but going back to Milwaukee for his first real game. But, I mean, I think it'll be hard for that to happen because I think that the Bulls are just going to be overwhelmed by this Bucks team from the get-go.
Jabari made comments before tonight's matchup to Casey Johnson when asked about what he thinks in the Bucks so far in their start to their 10-4 start to the season. It was short and quick, like most of his comments have been this season. Those are my guys. I love to see them do well. I'm happy for them. It's very good. I don't know how much you play into that, but I can't imagine walking away from a Bucks team and then all of a sudden seeing them do better makes you feel good, especially kind of the situation that the Bulls are in. But he's got 20 million reasons why it should make him feel at least a little bit better, right? $20 million.
Ugh. I mean, yeah, would you rather have $20 million and play on a bad team or less than that to be on a good team? You know, it's all about the preference. And, you know, to me, like, of course, Jabari jumped at the idea of, oh, my hometown Bulls are offering me $20 million this season and maybe $20 million more the season after that. And, you know, Jabari probably saw this Bulls team, if all pieces healthy, as maybe a fringe playoff team. That, you know, not everybody saw it that way. I certainly didn't. But he could have been justifying his decision to say, hey, not only am I going to cash in a big check for one season of basketball, but we might actually make some noise. So between that and the fact that it just seemed like he was very much ready to part ways with that Bucks team and have a fresh start. This is, you know, who knows where Jabari is now in his frame of mind as far as his decision to leave Milwaukee and come to Chicago. And whatever's going on up there in Jabari's head right now, you know that tonight is an extra meaningful game for him. So we'll see what that translates into on the court.
Milwaukee coming into tonight's game, the second best offensive rating in the entire NBA at 116.1, and the fourth best defensive rating at 105.7. They have the fifth best pace to the fifth highest pace in the NBA this season at 103.4. So, yeah, this is going to be a very, very difficult game for the Bulls tonight, especially the margin of victory, 10.8 points per game, beating teams by. So it's going to be an uphill battle. If there's anything that I'd like to see tonight, though, somebody please help Zach LaVine out. Please. The verbal SOSs have been in dozens already. He's asking for somebody to help him on the offensive side of the ball because he looks tired. He looks drained. He's not used to playing these many minutes this early on in the season. So somebody get out there and help him shoot.
No.
Somebody, for the love of God, please move on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, that would be nice, wouldn't it? I mean, Zach is going to have to do it all again tonight. And that's why we were talking about it on Bulls Outsiders after the Wednesday game. It's like, do the Bulls, does Fred consider giving Zach one of these nights off tonight or tomorrow night against Toronto? Because it's a back-to-back, and we've already seen star players take nights off on, you know, one or the other nights on back-to-back games and resting guys. Zach's pretty far up there as far as league leaders in minutes per game at this point. His usage percentage is through the roof. I wouldn't be opposed to giving him, you know, if, assuming he plays tonight, give him the night off against Toronto tomorrow. Like, why the heck not? The guy's clearly exhausted. So instead of losing by 15 to 20 tomorrow night against the Raptors, they lose by 25 to 30 because LaVine's not in there. Fine. But I don't want Zach LaVine to break because he's the best thing we have going for us right now, and I want him to still be healthy and have some amount of energy left when guys like Dunn and Markkanen get back into this rotation so we can see what they look like.
I'd agree with you, too. I don't know when they're going to see a time where they can not play Zach LaVine, and I would imagine Zach LaVine's like, nah, I don't want a night off. No, thanks. I'm good. Like, I'd rather be out there playing or just reduce the minutes. Like, if you're clearly getting blown out, like, let Zach LaVine sit the fourth quarter or let him sit majority of the third quarter. But I would assume over the next week or two, we might see something like that where it's, oh, Zach LaVine's going to get the night off tonight. And maybe that comes on their road trip coming up in the next week or so. So, that's going to be something. Like, I just want somebody to help Zach LaVine tonight score and stay in this game longer than 12 minutes. So let's try to do that tonight. Let's try to do that tonight. And maybe Jabari Parker is just that guy and just that spark we need, the motivation of going back to see his old team. Maybe that's enough to keep the Bulls hanging around in this one for at least a half. All right, Matt, let's talk about the other opponent in the Toronto Raptors we're going to see Saturday night. Before we do that, though, you had mentioned something to me yesterday that I thought was curious to me. You know, listening to people talk about the Bulls' injuries and where their path is and maybe what the front office is thinking. And, you know, Lauri Markkanen throwing down dunks behind Wendell Carter Jr. before pregames, saying that he can shoot without any pain finally, doing some extra work at practices. It looks like he's pretty close to coming back. But you also mentioned to me that you wouldn't be surprised if we don't see him till maybe the middle of December. So is this the Bulls low-key way of saying, you know what, let's try to lose as many games as possible and bring Markkanen back when we absolutely
have to? I think the Bulls front office are well aware right now that it would take a miracle after this 4-11 start to all of a sudden turn themselves into a team that was fighting for a back-end playoff spot in the East, as weak as the East might be. And knowing that, I think that they can look at the remainder of this season, which we still have several months to go, but they can look at the remainder of this season and say, okay, what can we do to get the most out of a bad situation? And what they can do, and the answer that I hope they come to, is we can ease Lowry back into action very slowly, make sure that we don't try to put too many minutes on him when he comes back, and probably keep him out a little longer than we need to so that we pile up a bunch of losses in a very difficult stretch of our schedule. The Bulls, between now and the latter stages of December, have maybe a couple of games on their schedule that look winnable, as in like they should be favored winnable. They did this with Zach LaVine last season. Zach was champing at the bit and ready to come in and play, and he wanted to play, but he said, I'm going to listen to the doctors, and I'm going to listen to the coaching staff, and I'm going to listen to the front office, and we're going to be patient with this. LaVine could have come back well earlier than he did last season, but they didn't, because it was in the team's best interest to stack up some losses, and the front office knew that. So why not do the same thing with Markkanen? Take your time bringing him back, and guess what? You can still give yourself a sizable amount of games to evaluate, because that's what this season can be about now. Evaluating the development of these young guys as individual players and as a core, as a cohesive unit. See what Markkanen looks like playing in the front court next to Wendell. See what a healthy Markkanen looks like playing in between Wendell and a healthy and offensively dominant Zach LaVine for the first time. Oh, and throw a healthy Chris Dunn into that mix. You can still have yourself a solid 30 to 40 game sample size of what that looks like, and also pile up some losses before you throw that in there. Because this season, sorry to tell you, any fans out there holding out hope that we're going to get our guys back and all of a sudden make a run to be a playoff team? No. No. The Bulls are not going to the playoffs. And there is a short supply of real NBA talent in this upcoming 2019 draft class. So stack up some losses while you can. Ease Lowry back into action. The same can be said for Dunn and Bobby and Denzel. And you still have a chance at the back end of this season to evaluate what those guys look like playing together for the purpose of, all right, what do we do for 2019-2020?
I don't mind that. The only thing that might worry me a little bit is we haven't seen Zach LaVine, Chris Dunn, and Lauri Markkanen play hardly at all together, and we're in our second season already. And I know if they come back in the middle of December, you still got, about 42, 45, maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less games to evaluate those guys. But I'm still worried, man. Like, I still don't think that's enough to figure out whether or not this core is going to work together long term. I'm fine with not making the playoffs, and the entertainment value of the games once the Bulls are healthy is going to be way better than it is right now. So maybe the playoffs aren't the expectation anymore, and that was a reach even when the Bulls were healthy. When we talked about it in the offseason, we even said that's a stretch even if they are healthy. So now the entertainment value is going to be there, but I think shifting our expectations and our goals for this season, or at least the Bulls' goals, some of those optimistic fans out there, shifting your goals and what you are actually going to look for can still bring some value to this season. So, that's why I was curious. I was like, Markkanen's throwing down dunks at practice. He's shooting. He's working his ass off to get back, and he just wants to ball. And yet the Bulls are saying it's still about 2 to 4 weeks away from now. And, he went from an original diagnosis of 6 to 8 weeks. Now it's looking more like 8 to 10 weeks. And Bobby and Chris are still, they're still saying 4 to 6 weeks. On those guys' injuries, there's been no real update for either one of them. So we might not even see them till Christmas. So that could be a serious case where you don't get fully healthy until almost
the new
year.
And look, man, don't get me wrong. I am excited to see Lowry come back. I am eager to see a healthy Lauri Markkanen out there on the court because I fell in love with him last season. I love that guy. And I want to see him healthy and playing, as I said, with LaVine and Wendell and Dunn. I want to see that. But I also know that it's in this team's best interest to be near the top of the draft lottery standings. That is what, there is no denying that is this team's best interest and best course of action right now, is to lose as many games as possible this season and get yourself another stud blue chip draft pick to add to this young core. So the fan in me wants to say, God, I can't wait to get Lowry back on that court and playing and balling with this, you know, to see what he looks like with his, you know, his young Bulls teammates. But the inner GM in me is saying, dude, take your time, bud. We need losses. We need losses on losses on losses on losses.
Let's get into this Raptors game before we get out of here for the weekend. So Saturday nights, depending on what happens tonight. Saturday night is no real night off for the Bulls either. You're playing, like you said, arguably the best team in basketball. Whether you want to say it's been the Raptors or it's been the Bucks, you're seeing the two best teams in basketball. And we already saw the Golden State Warriors, and they haven't been real great without Steph, but we saw them with Steph, and they are also one of the best teams in basketball. And we saw how that went at home, where the Bulls normally play better. So the Raptors game, Kyle Lowry, all of a sudden, looking pretty solid again this season, knocking down three-pointers at a 35.9% clip. Kawhi Leonard has stepped in and been great for them so far, 36.4% from the three-point line. They just have a ton of length, and they play such a good system that I think it's been difficult for a lot of teams to kind of figure out how to stop all of these guys. And I think their best decision so far has been bringing Fred VanVleet back. And some of their other role players, I think, have made a huge impact for this team. And how about Pascal Siakam, too, 24 years old, and he is dominating, too, for the Raptors. So what's the game plan coming off maybe a loss in Milwaukee tonight coming into this Raptors game tomorrow?
The game plan for Fred should be, if the Bulls get down big against the Bucks tonight, just play the scrubs for the entire second half. Honestly, play the scrubs. If you actually want to see if you can compete with Toronto in the second night of a back-to-back, you can't be playing your starters 35-plus minutes tonight, Fred. What's the point? And I think that is how it will go. I think the Bulls are going to get their butts kicked, and they're going to be down big early against Milwaukee. So save some minutes for tomorrow, because this Raptors team that's coming to Chicago tomorrow is they're a heavy load. I mean, you mentioned Lowry and what he's been able to do this season, and he's been able to be more of a pass-first point guard than he has been in years past because of the emergence of Kawhi Leonard as a big part of this Raptors team after that trade with San Antonio. Lowry's only averaging 16 points per game, but 10.7 assists. When has Lowry ever been that efficient as a pass-first point guard? Because I think the answer is never. His player efficiency rating, Lowry's 21.5. Kawhi Leonard, 24.3. And he's doing that with 24.2 points per game, 7.8 rebounds, 3.2 assists. VanVleet, really fun player to watch. He's doing things for them off the bench. They got Danny Green, a great role player, as a part of that starting lineup. This is a well-rounded Raptors team. And it's going to be another blowout loss. Like, that, it's as simple as that. I think people were curious to see just how healthy or not healthy Kawhi was after this weird drama that went down in San Antonio. But he clearly came to Toronto. Whether or not they have convinced him to stay long term, and I, you know, some people I've talked to that are close to this Raptors team have said Kawhi is already starting to come around to the idea to re-sign with them. We'll see, you know, down the road whether or not that's true. But in the meantime, he certainly embraced being a very strong player on a very good team, at least for the duration of this season. This Raptors team is for real.
I think a blowout chance is more likely tonight than it is against a Raptors team tomorrow night. You're hosting them at home tomorrow. You know, going on the road isn't really going on the road when you're going 90 minutes north to Milwaukee and you'll be back tonight. looking over the Raptors' schedule, you know, they've played a lot of games pretty close. You know, they've had a pretty difficult schedule so far, but even some of the teams that the Bulls have already seen this season, I look at the Pistons the other night on Wednesday night. They beat the Raptors 106-104 to give them their third loss of the season. The Bulls were within a possession of the Pistons early on this season. Another team, too, the Knicks played them pretty close at the end. It kind of wavered. They lost, or the Raptors won 128-112 against them. So I'm just looking at some of these other teams that they played. Like, they were down a ton to the Suns a few weeks ago. A ton to the Suns on the road. So looking at that, they got to go into Boston tonight and play Boston at 6, and then turn around and play the Bulls not even 24 hours later in Chicago. So you might end up catching the Raptors on a difficult back-to-back on a road trip too. So I wouldn't imagine a blowout Saturday night if we're going to see one tonight. So we'll see. If the Bulls shooting can keep them in the game, I don't think it's going to be a blowout tomorrow night.
And yeah, you mentioned the fact that the Raptors will also be in their second night of a back-to-back, just as the Bulls will be tomorrow, because they're in Boston tonight. That could be a slugfest. That could be a battle with the Celtics tonight. And if Kawhi and some of the other studs on this Raptors team end up, you know, going toe-to-toe with Boston in a game that is exhausting and they play heavy minutes, Who knows, we might see a Kawhi DNP tomorrow night. That's entirely possible. We've already seen it early this season.
Would be nice. It would be nice.
Which would certainly increase the Bulls' chances of not getting embarrassed.
Yeah, I'm a little bit more, I'm more concerned with tonight's matchup than I am with tomorrow night's matchup. Like, I think the Bulls can hang around with the Raptors, even though they have the better record. I just think the length and the shooting that the Milwaukee Bucks have tonight is going to dominate the Bulls tomorrow night. I think
Brooke Lopez is dropping 10 threes tonight.
I hope not, man. I really hope not. But I think tomorrow night plays a little bit more into the Bulls' favor. So if I had to be somebody who is going to guess or bet on either one of these games, I would stay away from tonight's game. I would look at tomorrow night's matchup. And also, too, pay attention to what the Raptors are doing tonight against the Celtics. If they come off of a bad loss or if they come off of a scrappy win, both of those things could play maybe into the Bulls' favor. So we'll see what happens. But I think the Bulls have a better chance against the Raptors tomorrow night than they do against this Bucks team tonight.
I think that's fair. When you talk about the fact that it's a back-to-back and, you know, they'll probably be a little bit tired. And I still don't know if I'm trying to put money on the spread tomorrow night, whatever it is.
It's probably going to be at least a dozen.
You would think so. You would think so. But the Bulls are the home team, and the Raptors are on the road coming off a back-to-back, so it might be a little less. But with as strong as this Raptors team looks, it's hard to see any kind of confidence. Whatever the spread is, I'd still lean towards the Raptors. I bless you for your optimism, Jordan, but you know, we'll see. And I'm with you. I think they have a better chance of staying in it tomorrow night, especially if they rest their guys, if they get their asses kicked tonight. I'm not trying to put a whole lot of money on that spread, whatever it is.
The only problem I can see tomorrow night's game, it might be a problem tonight, is I think the Raptors have one of the deepest benches in basketball. You know, looking at just between Ananobi, Van Vliet, and Danny Green, both averaging almost 10 points a game off the bench. So you add that on top of five starters who are all in double figures and a Kawhi Leonard who's scoring 24.2 points per game this season. That would be my only hang up there for tomorrow night's game, is that the Raptors bench is deep and they can score and they are efficient. So that might be the killer if we're looking at a Bulls team that's coming off a bench unit with Shaq Harrison and Felicio or Robin Lopez. And I don't know, it might be a disaster, but I'm hoping the Raptors are going to come into Chicago tomorrow night and be a little bit more sluggish. But crossing my fingers tonight.
I just hopped on Odd Shark to see if I could find the spread for this game. And the funny thing is that according to Odd Shark, the power rankings of NBA teams, Toronto, 1. Chicago, 30.
Oh, wow.
So that should tell you who you're putting your money on and who you shouldn't be putting your money on.
That's for sure. Well, I think that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. You can follow us on social media at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Subscribe to the show, iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Text and voicemail line 331-979-1369. Would love to hear from you. Drop us a text or a voicemail whenever you're listening to the show, wherever you're listening to the show. We're live on Dash Radio, dashradio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern at 9 a.m. Central Time. That's tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful weekend. We'll be back on Monday with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com